Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Should we introduce ourselves?
Why not? I'm Saruti.
I'm Hannah. Oh, my God. We've lost it. We're whoever we want to be now. That's just the situation.
Okay. In that case, hello. I'm Megan Hilty, and welcome to Broadway Hits.
I'm Jamie Theakston. Welcome to Five Live.
I don't know. Did he even do that? I don't know. He did Live and Kicking, didn't he, with Zoe Ball?
Live and Kicking, that's it. Oh, blast from the past.
And I never, ever, ever managed to watch all of it because I always had to go to stupid ballet on Saturday morning. So I only watched a few minutes.
Same here. I used to go swimming and to taekwondo because I was such a fucking badass. Oh my God. I took my phone out of its case so I could wash it, essentially give it a bath this morning because I went to the supermarket and came back with it. And now I haven't put it back in its case and it just keeps falling over. And you guys now know our setup for how we record because Hannah did a fantastic IGTV. If you don't follow us on Instagram, what the hell are you even doing? And I know loads of you don't follow us on Instagram because we have so many listeners, but only got 30,000 followers on Instagram. What you're doing?
I did read, though, that when you have 30,000 followers, you are a certified celebrity.
Do we have to halve it, though?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So we need 15,000 more and then we're both fine. Oh, no, 60,000 more. 60. Terrible man.
We need 30 more thousand.
We need 30 more. Yeah, 30 more. Well done, me. Good job, me.
15 more each so that we can officially be famous. So you guys know what to do. And you can check out the IGTV that Hannah did explaining how we record, because we know loads of you were super curious about that.
Yeah, we had loads of requests, and I was like, instead of going back to you all individually, I'm just gonna film myself doing it, and you can all figure it out yourselves. I have linked everything we use in the thing, though, except for my Kindle, because I hate it, so.
That is very good of you, and super efficient, because we are nothing but productive these days at Red Handed HQ, because, we have nowhere else to be. And that's why we thought, why not try freak everybody out, scare everybody, with something that isn't virus related. Let's talk about some ghosts, you spooky bitches.
Yes.
Why not?
I've been waiting for this since we did fucking Enfield episode 4. That was the last time I was allowed to talk about the paranormal.
No, I do love...
140 episodes ago.
I do love the paranormal, and that's why, I just think in true crime, it's like, is it? What's going on? But this is Red Haunted. We can do whatever the fuck we want now.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. Welcome to Red Haunted.
Red Haunted. And the thing is, so many of you suggested that as the name. But in the last episode, when we said somebody recommended it, that's the name we're going with. Everybody messaged us then and was like, oh, my God, you went with my name. Guys, there were 15 of you. But still, doesn't take away from your creative genius. I'm not going to take that away from you. So, yeah, Hannah and I have got, Hannah's got two. I've got one story to tell you guys. So. Yeah, these are from you guys. These are from the fantastic spooky bitches out there. So if you listen to these, you feel inspired, you remember a horrifying thing that happened to you, please, please send them over to redhandedpatreon@gmail.com. If this is a success, if we enjoy doing it, we'll do some more. Why the hell not? We're all in lockdown. So are you ready, Hannah? I've got a story.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yep. Hit me with it.
So this one is called Grumpy Gertrude, and it comes... from a couple of listeners. I don't know if they're both listeners. Maybe just one of them is. I don't know. Maybe both of them. I think they're sisters. Yes, they are sisters. And they're called Sarah and Lorna. So when Sarah, already off to a very average start.
Us? Never.
When Sarah and her sister Lorna moved out for uni, their parents decided, finally, the kids are out, they're gone, we can fulfill our dream. And their dream was building their own house. Which I think is just, it's a great dream. I love it. I'm in. Oh, that house I made an offer on rejected me, by the way.
Ooh. Oh, shame.
I know. Sad. I think they were just like, fuck it. This person's offered $20,000 more than her and we're never going to get a buyer again. So let's just take it.
Yeah, true.
So they didn't even come back to be like, would you up it? They were just like, it's gone. So this house that Sarah and Lorna's parents built was a typical farmhouse. And like all very efficient new builds, it was incredibly hot. That is the upside of a new build, isn't it? Very energy efficient, unlike these drafty old houses, unfortunately.
Well, you would think a drafty old house would have a higher risk of being haunted, but I'm guessing probably fucking not.
Well, they bring something in.
Okay.
Let's say they bring something into the place. Because, yeah, you're right, you would think. But then I have told you this story. I'm not going to go into it now. I'll tell you guys another time. But when I lived in that new build at uni, that fucking place was definitely haunted. Shit was just moving around all over the place. So this house, Sarah and Lorna's parents' house, was super hot, like melt your face off hot, apparently. And the hottest room in the house, unsurprisingly, was the glass conservatory, which was like a boiling hot greenhouse. And at points, apparently, it was almost unbearable to even sit in there. So being thrifty folk, Sarah and Lorna's parents decided to pick up some furniture for their newly finished house at an antique sale. Love it. I was actually in our garage.
Yes, well done.
Yesterday. Thank you very much. And there's like a really beautiful old wardrobe in there. And I was like, where the hell did you get this, Dad? And he was like, I don't know, like from a flea market. I'm going to sand it down. I'm going to paint it turquoise. And when I eventually get a house offer accepted, I'm moving it in.
That sounds like an absolutely terrible idea.
I can't wait.
Just open it. It's just full of baby hands.
I mean, I've just said that. I feel like I've peaked very soon because the entire plot of this story is basically what I just said to you. So Sarah and Lorna's parents, they go to this antique sale and their mum was particularly taken by an antique dresser that she saw, which used to sit in the dining room of a hotel in which she had coincidentally had her 21st birthday. I feel it. There's some nostalgia. Here's this beautiful dresser. Let's get it. So despite that hotel that she'd had her birthday in, being around in about the 70s and 80s, the dresser was actually built in the 1800s. So it's old. And it was massive and it was dark. The wood looked almost black. And it had like some ornate gothic patterning around it. So after purchasing this gothic dresser, their mum decided to place, and they've put monstrosity in quotes. So I wonder if this is how the girls felt about this particular dresser. So they said their mum put this monstrosity in the boiling hot conservatory. And apparently the room instantly became cold. I don't know if I've said this on the show before, but Hannah knows this, so it's not just me making it up because it fits in with what I've just said. My bedroom, my childhood bedroom in my parents' house is fucking haunted. It is freezing. It is the coldest room in our entire house. So my parents like replaced all the windows when I was younger, like everything double glazing. It is still absolutely freezing. It's quite an old house. And then I sort of like was talking to somebody who lived on our street and had done for quite a while. And I was like, just chatting about our house. And he was like, oh yeah, that's where the family used to live where the little girl died. Yep. And my room, when we moved in, was pink. It was definitely fucking her room. Yep. This is really sad. Like, apparently when she was like 7, she drowned in a lake.
Oh God.
I know, right? I don't know. I mean, if she is still here, and bearing in mind I am recording in said room.
Yeah, with no peripheral vision.
She's never, ever done anything to upset me. The room's just cold. But maybe she can't help that, little ghost girl. I don't know. So anyway, this conservatory that was previously boiling hot suddenly becomes bitterly cold. And they also noticed that the dresser constantly creaked. But everyone concluded that this was just it adjusting from being in a cold old hotel to being in a new warm farmhouse. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't trust it where people are like, oh, it's raining. That's why the door isn't working. No, it's because we're all going to die.
Yeah, I feel like furniture that's not being touched shouldn't be making noises. I just feel like that's a thing. And I know it's not a cupboard, but it really just reminds me of like the creepy cupboard in like The Conjuring where the hands are... It's all a lot. Maybe just everyone buy IKEA flat pack furniture and avoid all this. So at this point, Sarah and Lorna were still at uni, but at home, spooky bitch activity was happening. Again, in quotes. Thank you, ladies. You're making it very show appropriate. Seb put these together, so we actually haven't looked at them until this morning, which is just so much fun. So while they were at uni, their mum, who was apparently a pharmacy technician, and their stepdad, who they've described as a man with both feet firmly planted in reality, classic horror movie dad. Nothing's going on. You're crazy. So they began to notice that all wasn't right with their lovely new house. Apparently cold winds would blow through the house despite all of the windows being closed. And they noticed that there were definite sounds of footsteps walking around the house. So their skeptic stepdad started to get more freaked out because he knew where all the piping was in the house because, well, he'd built the house. So he couldn't just sort of brush it off as saying, well, maybe it's just old pipes. It's a brand new house and he lay the pipes. So it's weird to him. And after a particular incident in which their mother became so overcome by a malevolent presence behind her that she just had to leave the house, Sarah and Lorna's parents decided that something had to be done. Having both decided that whatever was going on was attached to this dresser, and with the girls being away having cheap shots and dreadful hangovers, Sarah and Lorna's parents decided that the only thing to do was to name the ghost and give it a stern telling off. Classic parents. They're like, right, the kids are away. Let's make the ghost in this dresser our new kid. So they named the ghost in the dresser Gertrude. And their mum gave the dresser a strict telling off and told Gertrude that if she didn't stop being so mischievous and creepy, that she'd get rehomed. Apparently, it worked. And at this point, Gertrude settled down. Apparently, she still sort of clattered around and blew wind through the house, but it all felt a bit more cheerful and like she'd lost that feeling of like malevolent hostility. That was until Sarah finished uni and moved back into the house. Classic. It's just a bit of like sibling rivalry. The other one's back, Gertrude's kicking off. So when she gets back, Sarah admits that this all sounds cuckoo, but it felt like all the previous bad feeling that had existed in the house had now become focused on her. For a few weeks, every time Sarah turned off the light in her bedroom to go to sleep, she would be kept awake by taps, creaks, and clatters. Sarah would turn the lights on and wait for them to settle, only to turn the light off and have them all start again. After a few weeks of the noises and general atmosphere getting worse and worse until it felt like Sarah had pressure in her ears from the noise and the weirdness, she finally had enough. Having at this point apparently, quote, lost her marbles, Sarah got out of bed, opened the door, and pointed out of the door whilst telling Gertrude to leave. At this point, the feeling of malevolence really came to a head, and Sarah felt as if she was being watched. Sarah turned the light off and hoped that she would just quickly fall asleep. That is always my go-to. If I'm scared, just pretend to go to sleep and then you will and it'll all be fine because it'll be morning. But what happened next chilled Sarah to her core. There was a clatter like a cupboard door had slammed shut, then the sound of running footsteps, and then an enormous bang against her sliding wardrobe door, like someone had taken both fists and hit it with all the force they could muster. After that, Sarah lay in bed, understandably petrified, with her blood running cold in her veins. However, after that, the atmosphere changed and became far less wicked. It seemed that Gertrude had made her point. And in the years since, Gertrude hasn't left the house. They all still get cold winds blowing through the house, dogs sometimes bark at weird places in the house, and once Sarah swears that she heard a rustle in a bag of Christmas presents and someone walking away and slamming a door.
Just having a little look, reading the labels.
I know, nosy Gertrude, she's just having a little peek. So whilst drunk, curious and living away from their parents, which is just the best, drunk and curious.
Well, that's basically me every night at the moment. Drunk, bored, curious, ghost hunting. I might just lock myself in the basement tomorrow for kicks.
Oh, there we go. Our very own Zach Bagan, everyone.
I used to watch Ghost Adventures every fucking Thursday when I lived in Korea. Wine and Ghost Thursdays with my friend Cheryl. It was the highlight.
Amazing. Amazing. I love it. So during this time, Sarah decided to investigate the dresser's origins more closely. It's got to be done. It's not just a horror movie cliche. If something's freaking you out in your house, you've got to have a little dig, see where that's come from. So Sarah found out that the building that the dresser had come from hadn't always been a hotel. And it had actually been a big residential house when it was first made. The dresser had been made as a custom piece for the grand house, and it had stayed there when it had been converted to a hotel. Side note, apparently there is a very similar dresser made by the same designer currently sat in the V&A. What's really interesting is the architect who designed the house turned hotel moved to the US and built a series of similar builds in the States. And what was the name of one of these houses, I hear you ask? Well, it was Gertrude.
No, it wasn't.
Apparently it was. It's in all caps.
Fucking hell.
I love it. I love me some old furniture, old house ghost shit. That's the best. Thank you, guys. That was really fun. I liked that one.
I hope she's leaving you alone. Or maybe you're all friends now and you can just have like gal pal times.
Yeah, I reckon maybe, you know, they just push the boundaries like kids do and test. And then if you put them in their place, give them a telling off, maybe they just chill out and they're like, okay, fine. Don't get the sage out because that's going to irritate them. Just leave mine. So yeah, that is the story of Grumpy Gertrude. Thank you again, Sarah and Lorna, for sending that through. So now, Hannah's going to scare me and you guys.
I don't know if I am because this one's quite nice.
No, okay. I like a nice one still.
So this one is from Angie Strom. Sorry, Angie.
Strom?
Strom. Yeah, sure. And it's called The Helpful Mechanic. As we said, Seb sort of took these from your email, so I'm not sure what's your words and what's Seb's words, but we'll see how we go and just assume that you called it The Helpful Mechanic and not him. So, 10 years ago, Angie and her husband moved into a house that used to belong to her husband's great-grandparents all the way back in the 1930s. And when her husband's great-granddad had lived in the house, he had operated an auto repair shop on the side of his house and made good money, like in Danny Champion of the World, where his dad's a mechanic. That's how I imagine it. And when Angie and her husband moved into the house, it still had many of its original features, including an antique front door with a complicated antique lock that was confusing and frustrating to operate. When they moved into the house, they had the carpets changed, and the carpet man said he heard strange noises in the house, like someone opening the front door and walking up the stairs.
Oh, carpet man, stop fucking with people.
Like, can you imagine? Just like Ed carpet man just like sidling up to an old house and be like, oh, this one looks old as fuck. Let's have some fun, boys.
Oh my God. I love the idea that he's just like running a scam and his wife is like a witchy lady. Yeah.
We need them to leave so we can buy this house and flip it.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes. Maybe that's how we get on the property ladder, Hannah. We set ourselves up as like mediums. We go around people's houses and we tell them that they're haunted. And then we say we'll buy them off them for a reduced price.
Yeah. Just turn up with like rabbit feet necklaces and stuff.
And we'll throw in a cleansing.
Yeah.
I've experienced one. Stick them under a blanket, set a fire underneath them. It's all good.
You and fire, my friend.
Hey, that's what the Filipino witch did to me.
Right, so apparently this carpet man, whether he was being sincere or not, he said to Angie and her husband that he'd previously worked as a grave digger and that job was less creepy than working in their house.
He's so extra. I can't. Yeah. Who asked you?
Angie did.
Stop asking him.
Angie deserves answers.
Angie, you don't need any answers. Answers lead to cans of worms being opened. Cans of spooky worms being opened.
So one morning, about a week after moving into their new house, Angie's 5-year-old son woke up early and attempted to let the dog out for a wee. Angie's husband was at work and Angie was still asleep. In their old house, it wouldn't have been abnormal for their kid to get up and let the dog out. But of course, this new house has a very difficult lock. And also, their old house had an enclosed garden and this new old house does not. So it's big trouble if the dog gets let out, he's just going to run off. And because the lock was so complicated, there is no way that the 5-year-old should have been able to operate it and open it. But he did. And he let the dog out and followed it. And then I'm going to find my place. So once the dog is outside, it runs off straight away. And Angie's son first thought that he should chase after it, which would have been Angie's worst nightmare, obviously, because they're in a completely new area and her 5-year-old son has no idea what he's doing. He's 5. He definitely would have got lost. But that's not actually what happened. Instead, the 5-year-old went back inside and told Angie that, quote, I was going to chase him, but the old man in green told me to go back in the house and get my mum. And after calling up her husband, and after a 4-hour search, Angie and her husband did eventually find their dog. And after they heard their son talk about this nice old man in green, her husband found a picture of his great-granddad. And in the picture, he's wearing green overalls, just like a mechanic would usually in the 1930s.
Aww.
And then they show this picture to their son and he immediately recognises him as the nice man who told him to go back inside and get his mum.
Oh my God, stop.
I told you it was nice.
That is really nice. Oh, I'm going to cry. That's really sweet. I love helpful ghosts, helpful familial ghosts.
Yeah, me too. And nothing has happened since then. But they do hear the door open sometimes and sometimes someone walks up the stairs, but that's about it. And Angie says, quote, I'm never scared because he's family. I've never met him. but I love him, and he saved his great-great-grandson that he'd never met.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
That's so nice. It reminds me a bit of the Lucy Blackman ghosty story.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah, the cigar smoke story.
That was. I can't really remember it very well, but it was something about cigar smoke.
I think she was ill. She had like meningitis or something when she was a kid. She was really, really ill. And she kept telling her parents about a man who used to sit at the end of her bed and smoke cigars, and it was her granddad.
Yeah, because they were like checking outside the windows to see if some, like, the neighbour was smoking outside and there wasn't. And
yeah,
it was her granddad ghost keeping her company while she had meningitis. Oh my God, sorry, I'm going to cry. Oh.
This one's less nice.
Okay, good.
This one's come from Freya Gravel, and either she or Seb has entitled it Freya's Floating Feminist Friend, which excellent points for alliteration. But I am going to have to take slight issue with it, I'm afraid. Because basically, this ghost doesn't like men very much. That's the key. That's not necessarily feminist.
Freya's floating misandry.
Yeah. Freya's floating misandrist. So I'm sorry. I understand where you're coming from, but I just can't spread that message on the show. Some of my best friends are straight white men.
Exactly. I've got so many straight white friends.
Straight white male friends. Don't you dare call me a misandrist. Okay, so Freya is currently right this second living with a ghost. And it's a female ghost, she thinks. And Freya doesn't know this for sure, but she senses that it's got this sort of female energy to it. Freya moved into her house in November 2018, and ever since, she's been plagued by this ghost that just doesn't like men very much. And this ghost particularly likes to use the buzzing doorbell phone to get their point across. Anytime Freya is alone in her house, she never hears a peep. Nothing happens, but the moment a man comes over, all hell breaks loose. In particular, the doorbell phone makes all sorts of strange beeps and noises that are totally different from the ones it normally makes when it rings. It's basically making noises that she's never heard it make before and just shouldn't be making at all. And these beeps always happen when Freya mentions the ghost. And they get even louder if she denies the ghost's existence.
I mean, yeah.
They don't like that.
No, they don't like that. Pilmas don't like that as much as sage being burnt, apparently. Yeah. We'll just add it into our cleansing routine that we're going to do when we become charlatans.
So some people have skeptically said that this is just a residual beep from the phone ringing. However, Freya had 20 of her girlfriends over for a Galentine's Day, and they all rung the bell, and the ghost didn't do anything, and the bell just made normal noises. So it's penises this ghost doesn't like very much. Freya had a man friend round, and they were both...
Oh, hello, Freya.
Yeah, they were both asleep. I don't know where in the house they were asleep, but both Freya and her man friend were asleep.
Well, you don't just have your friend over and then fall asleep, do you?
Well,
you don't just have your friend over and fall asleep.
Friend.
I'm just bitter. It's going to be so long before we have any man friends.
Before you have a sleep.
A sleep. Oh, help.
Freya and her man friend are having a little snooze, and they were both woken up by a whooshing sound despite all of the windows being closed. And all of this is a quote, scandalous paintings Freya had in her bathroom. What kind of paintings are those? Maybe they were like the one in that restaurant you went into.
I know. That is the weirdest. I will actually post pictures of that because I have them on my Instagram. If anyone has ever been to, oh my God, what's that restaurant called?
I can't remember and we've been.
Yeah, oh my God, what was
it? It's in Covent Garden.
Turkish. Okay, I can't remember. I don't know. But they've got just basically porn all over the walls.
Yeah.
And then they have a little sign that says, if you're under the age of 18, please use the other bathrooms.
So Freya's scandalous paintings fell right off the wall in the bathroom, and then an overpowering noise came from the doorbell phone, beeping uncontrollably. And since then, the paintings have fallen off the wall over 30 times.
That's a bad sign. That's not good.
Mm.
It's never just because your walls are damp. It's a ghost.
On one occasion, Freya came home to her apartment, and she heard someone say her name in an "is that you" kind of way. Like a Freya? And that was a little strange because Freya lives on her own.
I hate it. I don't know what I would do if I was home alone and I heard my name being said. Fuck.
It gets worse.
Oh no.
Freya has also been woken up in the middle of the night by the sound of someone screaming her name right in her ear and felt the warmth of breath on her face. And when that happened, Freya had had enough, and she has now learned that if she just tells the ghost the man in the house is okay and not going to hurt you, the ghost settles down and she doesn't cause any bother, unless you talk shit about her, apparently. Okay, Freya, I don't know you. If I had a man friend over, the first thing I bring up would not be the ghost that lives in my house that hates men. And then I certainly would not continue to talk shit about it.
I mean, Freya, look, no shade, but let's find you some new talking points when you have a man friend over, rather than slagging off the fucking angry ghost that lives in your house and hates men.
But Freya, we love you. Thank you so much for sending this one in. And Freya's decided that she's not going to let this ghost scare her out of the bargain apartment because she loves everything else about it and it's living the best bit of the city. So Freya, fucking more power to you.
Exactly. You go, girl. I love it. Yeah, just watch out for this ghost. Don't slag her off. She sounds fine. Just, yeah, like, be chill. And I don't know. I'm not bringing in ghost advice, but we'll work on it. But yeah, no, it just reminds me, I don't know why, when I was like doing the whole like grumpy Gertrude and you were telling us the Freya's ghost story, I always just hear all these ghosts in the voice of Moaning Myrtle from the Harry Potter films. And anyone who hasn't watched The Nest yet on BBC, I just finished watching it, definitely go watch it. It's actually pretty good. I thought it ended quite well. And the woman in that is the actor from the Harry Potter films, and she has the same voice. I thought she was putting it on.
No. That's how she talks. She's in Bridget Jones too.
It's so distracting. But apart from that, pretty good. So yeah, that is the first ever episode of Red Haunted. Tell us what you guys think.
Red Haunted, ghost advice. We'll be back whenever we can be bothered.
Exactly. / when we get so bored, we feel like we need to do another recording. So keep your stories coming in. We love them. Seb loves them. And we'll see you guys very soon.
Bye.
Bye.